Hi, hello, welcome. This is the interview with Mariano, aka Muzz, from Balcooter, one of the three founding directors of the architectural practice in South Australia. This clip was used to put together the full-length documentary Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect. If you're thinking of entering the architecture or interior profession, you've got to see it. That link is going to be up above or in the description below to check that out. But without further ado, let's get on with the interview.
Mariano Didwani, I'm a director at Balcooter.
How long have you been in the profession for?
I've been in the profession for about 33 years.
That's awesome.
34 years, possibly, yeah.
Why architecture? What made you want to be an architect?
I was always interested in the creative parts of my informative years at high school, etc. So it was anything to do with creativity. But I wanted a profession that actually involved a little bit of science with it. So architecture was that blend of good science and good art, good creative pursuit or artistic pursuit. So yeah, so I did architecture, yeah, as a good blend of the two.
You're not inside the office. Do you have any hobbies outside of architecture? Like, what do you do in your free time?
Oh, that's a really good question, because I think architecture absorbs most of my time. I guess in a way, I don't view architecture as work. It is my interest, it is my pursuit, and if I'm not doing work in the studio, etc., I'm reading up on architecture, etc. I do like painting and doing acrylics, etc. Haven't done one for a while. That side of me takes over a little bit more, and I enjoy my sports as well. These days, getting to senior years, I do passive sports like morning golf or something like that, just to get some exercise in. But pretty passive lifestyle, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how well did you think your education prepared you for the things you're doing today?
A lot of people come out of university and think they're ready to conquer the world or practice or the professions, etc., and that unbridled sort of passion to do things is, I think, university prepares the individual quite well for that. And then reality hits, when you're out in the commercial world and you've got budgets, you've got clients, you've got deadlines, you've got teams, you've got directors and bosses and things that have been there and done that. University years actually prepare you from the point of view of the design, cultivating your pursuit of design. If you're not inclined to be that high-end thinker in design, then does it prepare you as well? Maybe not. I think that's when the real learning starts, professional practice and how to deliver projects and how you actually communicate with the market and the industry, So the market and the industry and professional practice, I think, happens, when you're out of university. The learning of design and your pursuit and your interest, passion for the profession happens in university, which prepares you well, I think, yeah. The scale portion, I think, is arbitrary, really, but I think it prepares you fairly well in what to expect, but you're still on a learning curve. So, 7, 8 out of 10. I mean, I can't really fault it, really. I think it's quite good. A lot of people can lament it or have some criticism, but on the whole, I think they do, a really, really good job. Yeah.
What do you think are some of the biggest differences or the similarities, I guess, between your education and then working in the actual practice?
Similarities, long hours. If you think you've parked your long hours at university, again, I think it preoccupies your mind all the time, 7 days a week, particularly if you're running an enterprise or a practice. You're always thinking about the next project, and if you're not thinking about the next project, you're thinking about the project that you've currently got on and how to get the best out of it and the best for your client as well. So the other similarities is that you still have critique, you still have review with your peers. That's a critical aspect of professional life. I think practices that don't do that and just leave it up to the heads of the practice, I think they're missing out. I think you get just as much feedback from the junior staff as the senior staff. That blend and everything in between is gold, because there'll be a gem somewhere there that you can shift things along the way and get a better result in reviews or critique, etc. So critique is and reviews are critical on a daily and weekly basis to arrive at a really good outcome, the best possible you can make it with the constraints that you've got. Other things I think are similar, I guess teams are, in camaraderie and collegiality. Really tight studio environment is the other thing. I don't know if that exists in university now, where the studio environment is is prevalent or not, but in my day it was prevalent, and that has never escaped me or hasn't been present, so it's been good, you know, in that regard. That collegiality amongst your peers and the crew in the studio is similar.
You could sum up your experience at the architecture school and say one word or one sentence. How would you go about doing that?
Architecture school for me was experimentation. A lot of experimentation in what you were doing in your coursework, in your design work, etc. I think it allowed you to really press the boundaries and, you know, have a lot of latitude in what you were doing. I guess for me, you know, when you come out of university, then, you know, the constraints get put onto the project, and it's less so about unbridled thought and more about cultivated thought, to narrow your mindset a bit more. Saying that, I think constraints are really helpful as well, because they actually force you to do things a certain way, and often not, the more constraints you have, the more you think and are able to think a lot more creatively to resolve the problem or the solution that you're after. Yeah.
Do you have any kind of morning routines or rituals that you have as soon as you wake up, or as soon as you get into the office?
You'd like to think that your day's got a lot of variety and you do things differently each day. Just listening to that question, I sort of thought about what I do when I wake up, and, you know, in some boring, monotonous way, I go through the same steps and the same rituals each day in terms of thought pattern. As soon as I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about the day and the projects that we've got on and what needs to be done. My rituals are, in the world of technology, I'm always at my computer looking at the day's plan and the day's work and the emails that come in, or what's on Instagram or what's on the websites. I plan my day first and foremost in the morning, and then, you know, start going through the day. But I finish the day whenever that is, usually when, you know, contact is subsided and the clients are all having dinner or something. I have to finish off by addressing all the correspondence that occurred in that day, either by email or phone, put it into some sort of plan for the next day. So I've cleared my inbox, I've cleared my messages, and it's a good routine to have, because then it sort of sets up the next day, you know, and you start all over again.
During the day, what are some of the more common tasks you work on?
There's a variety of things. Occupying a director role, it's a little bit more diverse than others in the studio. My day is sprinkled with a lot of dozen or more different types of things, rather than just the one thing per day. You know, I don't do, you know, design or one day and then do administration the other day. I tend to pepper it along the way. It's as diverse as, you know, business development, in meeting with clients with opportunities, to doing critique and design review with staff members on projects. It's actually doing administrative or practice management portions of the job that must be done, e.g. invoicing, accounting, basic routines of, you know, QA and proofreading, etc., contracts, all those sorts of gnarly things of practice. And then the good things is designing work, looking at projects that you can get your teeth into, and also work with others to actually just keep on kicking the can along the way to get a result and meet your deadlines as well. There are other facets of the job that I do enjoy, and that's meeting other peripheral industry bodies and people of interest that that actually help cultivate the practice as well, you know, in terms of its standing in the industry, but also just thought processes from the unsuspecting people, you know, that bring, you know, some sort of energy to the studio as well. And that could be really peripheral stuff, rather than just mainstream architecture as well. So in the arts or music or animation, all those sorts of things. You tend to go and lean against and come back and a bit like this, you know, how we met you and wanting to do this documentary. It's a nice thing to do, because it actually gives an opportunity for people to get an insight into who we are and what we do and what the profession does, you know. So, yeah, it's all that, and very diverse. Yeah, the best thing about the profession and being an architect is that you experience, more often than not, other people's worlds. You're actually affecting their life, whether it be, you know, recreational or work or or any other facet in their life through their built environment. So, and I don't mean that by, you know, influencing their built environment. It's that you get to understand what their profession is or what their life is or what their family situations are and what their world looks like. For that, you need to be very much a person who can step into their shoes, even if it's just temporary. Step into their shoes and experience their life, and we might be doing projects that, you have to imagine them, you know, in that built environment that you're creating. So you get to experience most people's worlds, and then with that, you know, get to understand people a lot more, and a wider cross section of the population a lot more, and makes you a really well-rounded person to understand where people's mindsets are, and they're not in accordance with yours necessarily, and they've got different agendas and different political persuasions and different commercial agendas, etc. So all that, also the human part, how they're wanting to improve their business or their life, is all really intriguing. So all that, I think we were in an immense privileged position, and to get to understand the world through other people's eyes. It's fantastic, actually.
And then on the other side of that question is, what do you least enjoy about architecture?
I once had a long list of why do I do architecture, you know? But I think over time that list has really whittled down, you know. There's not very much that I don't enjoy about architecture, because I think if you go into any professional, vocational job, it's got its bad points and it's got its good points. Most of the things that I've said today about, you know, example, long hours, etc. I think it's a mindset, really. Doing those long hours doesn't mean it's a chore, and you're actually savouring and enjoying doing what you're doing. So as long as you enjoy what you're doing, I don't think there's anything bad. So, and I don't actually separate my life in compartments about, you know, what I do outside of the studio or inside of the studio. I'm still doing all the things that I'm doing, whether I'm in or outside the studio. So it's just one life for me. It's not a, you know, there's no two different lives. So if you got that, there isn't that many bad things, you know. People can lament about fees and long hours and devaluing and the profession not having a standing amongst other professions, etc. But it's up to the individuals to change that. And if you have a really healthy attitude, then those things shouldn't be an impediment to your career. You know, you should enjoy it and savour it and get the most out of it, yeah.
Great response. With 10 being architecture, it's a dream job and you love what you do every single day, 1 being this living hell. How would you put architecture on a scale of 1 to 10?
On the whole, I pretty well am towards the 10. I enjoy architecture a lot. I enjoy meeting interesting people along the way. Foremost, I think just the people you meet, what you get out of them and the learnings you get out of them is just unsurpassed, really. Getting to influence people's habitats and built environment is, you know, mind-boggling privileged to do that. You really are influencing their health and well-being, and there's a tremendous responsibility with that as well. So that's sort of the nervous part about the profession as well, that you're doing the right thing. But yeah, so it keeps you very stimulated. And because of that stimulation, it's always exciting, you know, day by day and what you're doing. You know, and you have your peaks and troughs, you have bad days and good days, but on the whole, it's a pretty exciting profession to be in. If you can get the work and you're working with really interesting people who are looking for change and looking for really good opportunity to position their enterprises or their families for success. And I use families and enterprises in the same breath, because, you know, you'd be dealing with families on one end and organisations and committees at the other end, you know. So setting them up for success is pretty exciting. Yeah, I'll push it to a 10. Yeah.
What are some of the biggest challenges you face? And you have touched on this a little bit with some of the previous questions, but is there anything you
It's really dependent on the type of work you've got. But if you've got the work, and let's say all things being equal, you're doing your bit at your end. Day by day challenges are ensuring that you're going to, you know, meet the requirements of your client, set them up for success first and foremost. doing it well and probably not getting into trouble while you're doing it, making sure that everything that you do is going to stand there and you're building a legacy. That's the biggest challenge, you know, is building that legacy and what you've done for that client or that community or that city, because it's standing there. I think there's a tremendous responsibility to make enduring pieces of work. You don't always get the chance to do that. Doing enduring pieces of work is probably the paramount thing that your responsibility is to the public. That's the biggest challenge, making sure that everything that you do or most things that you do are standing there and meet the sustainability things that the world is demanding, and also leaving nice spaces and places and built environments for people to enjoy for, you know, a long time, well past when you're gone.
If you go back to when you first started some 30 years ago, is there anything that you would have change, or is there any advice
for your younger self? It's always an interesting question, the hindsight question. I would say that the career of an architect is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You're not going to get there in a short amount of time. It takes a lot of effort and time, and that expectation of changing the world, for instance, when I first started the interview, That's not it. You've got to have a enormous patience. If I was, you know, telling my younger self, you need to have enormous patience, but you will need to learn a lot more than what you know at the moment. That's going to take time and effort, and you probably won't get good at what you're doing until you're well into your senior years of life. If I could tell my younger self that, I think I would have been a better architect. You know, life takes you in different roads, etc., and it's not going to be sequential either. Be prepared to deviate and do other things and come back to what you're doing, because that's what happens. You know, it's never linear, and it's never cascading always to the top. It's always got its highs and lows. Be prepared for that as well, the highs and lows. You learn through the lows as much as the highs. I don't lament having low points, because the low points are just as educational than the high points. We use the word architect like it's a precious title, etc. And I think moving into the future, I think architecture's breadth or latitude of what you get into offers enormous opportunity than the strictures of what a traditional architect used to do in yesteryear. I think the word architect can be and will be reinvented a little bit about, you know, what we actually do as a profession moving into the future. And I think it's changing rapidly, and I think we'll be doing things that we're not imagining that what we're doing at the moment. Particularly, I would say, you know, broaden your mind to have design thinking being an enabler and also a commodity that you can offer to the industry without building objects or having a built environment outcome. It can be design thinking to just problem solve, because your ability to three-dimensionally think problems out can't be underestimated, and I think it'll be a commodity that'll be sought after around the boardrooms of most companies and enterprises. We're moving towards that, you know, a lot more, where design thinking will be more valued as a commodity, you know, rather than just we build buildings or we do built outcomes. So widen your spectrum of the opportunities that your education and profession can provide.
How bloody cool was that? If you haven't checked out the full-length film Behind Closed Doors, The Life of an Architect, you've got to set some time aside for that, because it's pretty incredible what some of these guys have to share with you, some information and resources that will be really helpful if you're thinking about studying architecture or you just want to get an insight into the profession. So if you want to check that out, you can click that button to the side here, or if you just want to go on with the next interview, check out that button to the side there. Catch you there.